Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we zero in a little bit on eagles and on osprey. The eagles, I think it was according to the DNR, was it 2007? Eagles were removed from the federal endangered species list. I think eagle numbers are continuing to grow, and Wisconsin has played a big part in helping the population get to where it is today, and really pleased to have Carly Lapin with us today. Carly is the district ecologist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources to talk about eagles and ospreys. We may get into some other animals as well, because I'm sure she's up on a lot of things because she's the district ecologist for the Wisconsin DNR. And Carly, happy to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Larry. It's nice to be here.
Well, let's take eagles to begin with. Eagles, current eagle population is pretty good.
Eagles are doing really well in the state. In 2013, we had our highest number on record, just over 1,300 breeding pairs of eagles. And we're continuing to monitor the numbers. We're not sure if they're down or if we're just maybe not getting as much coverage as we used to with certain counties. We've missed counting in a couple years. So.
But they're kind of spread out.
They are. Eagles are primarily really dense in the northern part of the state where there's a lot of lakes and along rivers, but we're starting to see them expand into southeastern Wisconsin. For the first time a few years ago, we had eagles down in the Milwaukee area, and we're seeing their numbers increase down there as well.
Yeah, there's even a pair in the Madison area, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct, yep.
So it's great that they're doing so well, and primarily, was it banning DDT that...
That was a big part of it, and also federal protection through the Federal Endangered Species Act. They were also state-listed species in the state of Wisconsin, and we continue to protect eagles federally through the Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act, mm-hmm. Which protects eagle nests and nest trees.
And speaking of goldens, we're actually starting to see a few more goldens in the area, at least over on the would be our west side of the state.
Yeah, there are a few records every year of golden eagles along the western boundary of the state.
Yeah. We have surveys that are carried out. You coordinate the eagle nest surveys. How and you do aerial surveys.
We do. Every year, biologists from the DNR around the state fly twice. They fly once in late April and then once in early summer. The first flight is to locate eagle territories, so nests that are being used in a given year. And then the second flight, they check those occupied nests once again to see how many young are in the nest. And this is done from a fixed-wing aircraft piloted by DNR staff.
And that's got to be kind of fun in one way, but those are small planes, aren't they?
Yep, it's quite a treat to zoom 100 or 200 feet over the treetops around, you know, the territory that you're used to working in. It's definitely a different perspective, but you have to have a strong stomach.
I could believe it. I would love to be able to fly over an area like that. I spend a lot of time up in the Bayfield County, so it'd be really fun to be able to fly over the area that where we deer hunt, for example. Would be just so much fun to see.
Definitely, it's a lot of fun.
So, how is it difficult to spot them, or do you know kind of what's the?
It takes a little bit of practice. We have a pretty good data set of where the nests are located, and so we start with the nests that we know about every year and check those out. A given pair of eagles can have several nests within their territory. And some of them switch between nests in any given year. So you generally start out checking the nest that they used the previous year. And if there is no activity there, then you check the other nests in the territory. So we have those GPS coordinates, and we fly directly to the location. And then if you're lucky, you can see the nest right away. And sometimes you have to make a few passes before you can see it. And then it can be challenging to see inside the nest, too, to see if it's occupied or if there are young there.
Yeah, and you're there. What's the second time again? What's the date?
Generally late May or early June.
Okay, so if there are young, they're going to still be in the nest.
Correct.
Late May, early June. Oh man, that would be just a really cool thing to do, I think. Is it how big is the plane? Is it a 4-seater?
The plane can seat 4 people, but usually it's just the pilot and the surveyor.
Yeah, and you're responsible for 3 counties?
Correct. Yep. I fly Lincoln, Langlade, and Forest counties.
Carly Lapin, our guest today, District Ecology with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Great to have her along. We're talking eagles and ospreys. I haven't gotten into ospreys yet, but we certainly will. And I also know that there's a new endangered species license plate, and I definitely want to talk with her about that as well. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions, comments, or maybe experiences to share with eagles or ospreys. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And we'd certainly love to hear from you. We had a listener called and couldn't hang on, but wanted to share that we really owe our eagle recovery, or a lot of our eagle recovery, to Rachel Carson and her book that was published in 1962. It was Silent Spring, as I remember, and about the pesticides, especially DDT, that were doing all the damage.
Yes, and Wisconsin was actually one of the leading states in the banning of that pesticide use. It was banned in Wisconsin in 1969, and then federally it was banned several years later. So Wisconsin was one of the first states to recognize the dangers associated with DDT for our raptor species.
And more callers online, and we'll get to them in a minute, but I want to go to Osprey and talk with you about Osprey for a minute, because Osprey were endangered as well, and they came off the list, didn't they, in 2007 as well?
State listed species. That's correct. Yep. And their numbers are in the 500 to 600 pair range, and they were taken off the state list in 2009. Osprey recovery is really associated a lot with platform building, so it was human assisted. They like to nest in the tallest tree around, generally a dead tree. And those are not always available. They end up using telecommunication towers frequently. And so our communication companies within the state, as well as the DNR and private individuals, put up platforms. And over 80% of the osprey nests in the state are on man-made platforms.
Isn't that amazing? How many platforms are out there now?
Well, I wish I knew. I'm not really sure. Some of them are not used, and some of them haven't been maintained. But we do continue to put new ones up in areas if we have osprey using a nesting area that we don't want them to use. For example, in Wausau this year, we had osprey build a nest on a crane. And so we put up a platform to try and get them to nest there next year. We'll see.
Well, see what happens. Well, if you say 80%, that would be 400 pairs using those platforms.
Yes, and they're well over that many platforms. There are far more platforms than get used.
Oh, man. That's a really a great success, because we would not have them without those platforms, would we?
No, we wouldn't have the numbers that we do.
Yeah. Some people may wonder or have questions about osprey, the birds. What do they feast on? What are their habits?
Osprey primarily eat fish. Over 99% of their diet is fish. And they're one of the only raptors, or the only raptor, that will dive underwater to catch fish. So if you've ever seen an osprey catch a fish, it's quite a treat. They carry the fish in a distinctive way, where they'll turn it so the head's facing forward to reduce the drag when they're flying. They're great fisher birds.
Yeah, they're great fisher. And actually, I think one of the problems back in the day was a misunderstanding from people who were actually shot osprey because they thought they were hurting the fish population.
That's correct. For a long time, one of the biggest threats to osprey was shooting by people, because they were perceived as a threat to our fish stocks, and especially fish farms.
Yeah.
That's one of our regulations, or one of our recommendations when we put up platforms, is we need to make sure there aren't any fish farms within a certain distance, because we don't want to introduce problems between osprey and people who raise fish.
Absolutely. Well, Mike in Madison has a comment, so let's go there. Mike, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, good morning. My question is, we've had eagles nest on our property on Lake Minocqua up north, but they haven't nested in the past 2 years on our property, and I was wondering if you guys could give me an idea on how I could encourage them to come back and re-nest on our property. And on a follow-up thing, just so she knows, or since you're tracking talking golden eagles, I saw a golden eagle on Minocqua this summer, just 2 weeks ago, It's the first time I've ever seen a golden eagle up that way. Lots and lots and lots of bald eagles, but it's the first time I've seen a golden eagle up that way. And I've also noticed that there's a couple osprey that live in the area that usually stay on the rivers and don't rarely you see around the lake. But I've also seen the osprey coming in and doing a little fishing on the lake, which is also rare. And that's what I had to say.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, thanks, Mike. I'll start with your first question about the eagle nest on your property. There's not much that people can do to encourage eagles to nest in one location or another. They generally don't use platforms. The one thing that you can do is maintain those large, we call them super canopy white pine trees. So the white pine that stick out above the rest of the canopy are preferred trees for eagles to nest in. And then keep noise down during the breeding season. And if that nest is still there, or even if it's not, there's a chance that that pair will come back again. They sometimes will leave one nest for a couple years and go nest elsewhere, but then they might come back again in the future.
Yeah. Or would another pair take up a nest?
That's also a possibility. If there's an existing nest or a nest tree that's good for a nest, if one pair moves on elsewhere, if there's room and there aren't territorial disputes, then it's possible another pair could use that nest as well.
Very interesting. Mike, thanks a lot.
Mike also had a question about osprey.
Oh, that's right.
Osprey are generally pushed out of their territories by eagles. So if an osprey are nesting, if an eagle pair moves in, they'll chase the osprey out. So the osprey tend to get kind of these secondary habitats, or because they like to use dead trees, they'll end up in kind of marshy areas where the trees have died. So there's tall dead snags, and that's where they nest. But they'll still go to the nearby lakes and rivers to catch their fish.
Wonderful. Mike, thanks again for calling. Appreciate it very much. You can join in, too. Question about eagles or ospreys or maybe an experience to share. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. And if you've got a cool photo, eagle or osprey photo, or a good wildlife photo, we'd love to see that as well on The Larry Mealer Show Facebook page. I'm Larry Mealer. Brandy Funk, our on-air producer. Our guest today, Carly Lapin of the Department of Natural Resources, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're visiting about the eagle and osprey population in Wisconsin with our guest, Carly Lapin of the Wisconsin DNR. Always great to have someone from the DNR on, great to have Carly with us today. Join in at 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org and post a question and or photo on our Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. Love to hear from you. And before we go back to the phones or our email, I do want to get to the license plate, because the DNR and motor vehicles are sort of cooperating on a new plate.
That's correct, Larry. We've got a new endangered resources license plate coming out with a bald eagle on it. It'll be replacing the badger plate. And the plate costs an annual donation of $25 in addition to a $15 issuance fee. And that money goes to the Department of Natural Resources Bureau of Natural Heritage Conservation, which pays for natural heritage staff to inventory non-game species in the state, regulate threatened and endangered species, and also helps to promote and manage our state natural resources, our state natural areas.
And we have a link to it on our Facebook page. You'd want to click on it to get it enlarged, because it's pretty small just the way it looks on the page as it is. But a nice link to our Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. And how much, pretty much raise a fair amount of money, do we not, every year?
I don't know about every year, but since the beginning of the endangered resources license plates, the wolf was the first one, and then the badger was added. We've sold over 23,000 plates since we first started issuing them in 1995. So they do produce revenue for our bureau for non-game species research and protection in the state.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Kevin in Tomahawk, thanks a lot for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to mention that I'm a rescue driver for Reggie Raptor Education Group and also Wild Instincts in northern Wisconsin, and we pick up so many eagles that are poisoned from lead, either from a deer being shot and dying, or a fish that has a lead sinker or lead jig in it. And according to Marge from Raptor Education, it costs a minimum of $2,000 if they can even save the eagle just for the medicine. And I'm just wondering if the DNR is working at all and getting the lead out of our hunting and fishing.
Yeah, well, actually, there's been quite a bit of work done over the years, but go ahead, Carly, and talk about that.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. There is some encouragement to use non-lead ammunition and fishing tackle because it impacts eagles and also other birds such as loons, especially fishing tackle. I'm not sure about DNR motivated regulations, but it's definitely something that we encourage.
And I think there's been a fair amount of education done at the DNR level on steel shot, lead shot, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
So I wish we could get the sinkers out of the lead business, but and you can buy sinker. I'm frankly I don't use sinkers because I don't fish where I need to use sinkers. But there are sinkers out there that are non-lead sinkers that can work just as well.
Yes, there are alternatives for fishing and also for ammunition, lead alternatives. And at this point, it's more of an individual-driven sort of thing. In Wisconsin, we haven't made any sort of regulation to go that way. It's kind of up to the individual person to make that choice.
And maybe we'll bring that up with Gary Engberg coming up at 11:45. We might add a little to the discussion on it. Ray in Ashland, it's your turn. Hi, Ray. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks. I had the opportunity here a few weeks ago. It was the Monday after Labor Day to witness what I think was bald eagles mating. Two birds basically falling from the skies with their talons locked, and then they just broke apart at the end. I'm just wondering if this is the time of year that happens, or isn't that spring?
Thanks, Ray. Generally, eagles mate in the spring. I have not been aware of eagles mating in the fall, but it's possible that there is just some sort of territorial thing or something associated with an eagle dispute, but generally the springtime is when we see most of that activity. And watching eagles mate is very, very neat. They lock talons in the air and fall toward the earth, and we've even encountered eagles that need to be rescued because they get locked together and then they fall in the water and someone needs to help them out and physically pull them apart. So that is a really, really neat thing to see.
Yeah, it was really, really something to see, and I like I say, so that could be a territorial fight rather than actual mating this time of year.
It's possible. At this time of year, I'm not sure why the eagles would be interacting like that. They're probably getting ready to make some migratory movements, and they shouldn't be defending their breeding territories right now because the young should be off the nest and mobile. So I'm not sure. It's just one of those anomalies, I guess.
Well, thanks a lot for calling, Ray. Appreciate it very much. So they might lock talons if they're mad at each other, too, what you're saying.
It's possible, I guess, yeah.
Okay. Thanks again, Ray. Appreciate it. Dennis in Appleton. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. You were talking about lead alternatives. I know for sinkers and as far as shotgun or steel shot, there are alternatives. Do you know of any other alternatives for rifle bullets besides the copper? And does the copper cause any contamination in the wildlife or the environment?
Great question, Dennis. I don't know of any alternatives other than copper. I'm not a rifle hunter myself, but I have heard that the rifle or the copper bullets don't fragment the way that lead does. So I'm not sure about contamination, but lead is known to fragment pretty extensively throughout an animal after it's shot, and then those lead fragments go in the gut piles, which get left out, which is how eagles end up consuming lead. And copper, from what I've heard, does not fragment like that.
Oh.
No, I reload my rifle shells, and I've used copper. And they retain their weight as far as but I wasn't aware of any alternatives, so thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. We have Rick in Star Prairie called and said he's happy to see a lot of osprey in northern or northeastern Wisconsin. He thinks they're starting to head south. Also, something funny, he saw a nest on the Apple River right across from a trout farm. Oh, man. Well, that's not so funny to the trout farm owners.
Yeah, hopefully that wasn't a platform and that was just the birds moved in on their own.
I would bet that would be the case. Are osprey moving a bit south?
I'm not real sure about the osprey patterns. They seem to be holding pretty steady in the state. It's possible that they're moving around within the state, but as far as our numbers go, they're continuing to increase slightly, but not to the extent that we've seen eagles increase in numbers.
And let's see, we had George on Facebook with a totally different question. We're wondering about whippoorwills and what's being done to bring them back, if anything.
Well, there is a whippoorwill or a nightjar monitoring project that's coordinated by Ryan Brady with the DNR out of Ashland. As far as conservation measures, I think we're still trying to understand more about the birds themselves so that we can maybe make some decisions on how to help their populations.
Okay. Chris in Madison, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. Just wanted to make a comment that modern lead bullet technology really does prevent a lot of fragmentation. For instance, the Remington Core Lock is over 90% weight retention. And not only that, but bullet shot placement should be in a chest cavity, eliminating most often the complete pass-through, impacting the ground beyond the animal. Really, I've been hunting for 30 years, and I have only had one animal where the fragments had impacted into the abdominal cavity. But I would like to say that in my lake up north by Spooner, I've seen a drop in the loon population as the eagle population increases.
Okay, and thanks a lot for calling. Chris, appreciate your call. And others have noted some issues with loons, but I know part of it has been a result of black flies.
That's correct. We have had some reduced loon reproduction in the last couple of years because of black flies. However, eagles will eat baby loons, and I'm not sure the increase in eagle numbers is associated with reduced loon numbers. I don't know that there's any correlation there.
I went just on Facebook right now. Our on-air producer today, Brandy Funk, said, hey, go to the Facebook page because there are some cool photos. And we do have a number of nice eagle photos. Here's one from Daniel sent this one from along the Wisconsin River. And there's a big old eagle nest right there that looks pretty cool.
Yep, that would be one of the ones that'd be easy to see from a plane because the tree is dead, so it's easy to pick out those big shapes in the air.
Yeah.
If you've got live trees, it's not quite as easy, and if they're deciduous trees, that makes it nearly impossible for the second flight to see the nest once leaf out has occurred.
We have a couple of more photos that are really cool. Daniel sent another one of an eagle, and a couple more. Owen sent a beautiful one of a shot of an eagle. And there was a question here from someone who said, oops, I'm kind of losing the shot here, but someone wondered about sinkers. Would be happy to get rid of the lead sinkers that he has, but how do you get rid of them is what his question was. What's the best way to get rid of something like that?
I'm not sure about the different methods for disposing of lead sinkers. It's probably something you can ask your local sporting goods store. They might know or even take them for you, but not sure.
Okay, so let's turn to Pete in La Crosse next. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Larry and Carly. Hey, I wanted to come back to the topic of identifying occupied nests versus empty nests and doing so from light aircraft.
Yeah.
Having flown a lot in Cessna 172, they're kind of loud. Have you looked at doing that surveying work from drones or quadcopters? I mean, there's many reasons for doing so, including the cost, and especially because they're kind of noisy, and, you know, seeing people on the ground, seeing light aircraft swooping over these nests kind of gives a bad reputation to us 172 drivers. So have you looked at drones and other quieter, maybe cheaper means of surveying your nests?
Thanks, Pete. Other than just mentioning it in passing, we haven't talked about using drones to view the nests. But the flights, although they are loud, the eagles are generally not disturbed. They kind of take a look at the plane and then look the other way. So as far as we can tell, we're not disturbing the eagles. I can't say much for the people around, but generally it takes us just a few minutes to check a lake. So we're not there for very long.
Okay, well, look into drones. They're fairly cheap to operate, and, you know, we want to save money, right?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Thanks, Pete, for calling. Chris in Grafton up next. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Actually, I'm real lucky. I live up on Grafton on about a 15-acre pond with a small little condo community, and we're real lucky because we had loons the last, or excuse me, ospreys the last 3 years. Last year we had a couple, a pair, and this year I've only seen one at a time. Will they generally only hunt individually on a pond? So can I still have the couple and not know it?
I would say that that's possible. Generally, that when there are young in the nest, both birds will be out actively hunting to try and feed those young. It's quite a bit of work to keep meat on the table, if you'd say, and then also feed themselves at the same time because they're really expending a lot of energy catching all this fish for their growing hatchlings. It's possible that you have a pair and just are either seeing only one bird at a time, or each bird is fishing in different places.
Hmm.
Okay. The other question I had is sandhill cranes. I've noticed they're pretty solitary birds, or at least they only stay in small family groups. But then last fall, I saw a flock of at least 50 flying south. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize, do they gather like that and then fly as a flock?
Yes, they do.
Is there like a meeting point?
I don't know if there's a designated meeting point necessarily, but most bird species actually will migrate in flocks. They tend to split up during the breeding season, so when they get here in the spring, they'll split up into individual pairs, and they have territories that they'll defend because they need those resources to raise their brood within that territory. And then after the young have fledged and are able to fly, migration is generally safer in large numbers, so they will flock up for migration.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, because it was really cool to see those big birds flocking like that. And last but not least, we had loons on our pond 4 of the last 5 years, and this was the 1 year we didn't have a loon. Have they decided just not to mess with our pond anymore in the migration aspect of things, probably, or does that say anything?
So breeding loons or migrating loons?
No, it was a single loon.
This year?
The last 4 years it was a single loon that came in the spring. He didn't come back in the fall. And then this year he didn't come back at all.
It's possible that they're just using your pond during migration.
Right.
That loon may have gone elsewhere or maybe isn't alive anymore. But if it's a good pond and there's fish in it, the chances are you'll see at least a loon again at some point, but maybe just not the same loon.
Okay, well, yeah, it's cool because, as I say, it's great looking at all the wildlife. Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Questions for our guest today, Carly Lapin, district ecologist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Our number, 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page titled, The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Josh sent a pretty cool photo here and comments that he saw about 9 eagles together. Most were young ones near Crex Meadows. That was this summer. And just says that he loves to hear that they're doing so well. That's a pretty cool picture that he's got there of one. Looks like maybe a young one.
Yep, definitely a young eagle. Eagles actually don't get their characteristic white head and tail until they're 5 or 6 years of age. So they go through different color phases, generally brown and white in different patterns on their body. And as they age, until they get to be about 4 or 5, and then their head will start turning white, like the eagle in this picture here. And we had a caller before mention he saw a golden eagle on Lake Minocqua. It's possible that that was a golden eagle, but that would be pretty rare. I'd say chances are that it might have been a juvenile bald eagle because they do get that brown look. They look kind of like golden eagles, but just a little bit smaller.
And, you know, at 3 or 4 years old, and if they're not white colored out yet, they'd be pretty good size anyway.
Yes, they would.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
We had Diane from New Berlin wondered about Cooper's hawks. They're attacking her backyard poultry and wondered if there are positive suggestions to fix that problem.
There are some different resources online and through the Department of Natural Resources for how to deter raptors from your yard. One suggestion might be an owl statue or mannequin to put that up. There's a few different ideas. If you look around online or call your local DNR service center, they can put you in touch with someone.
Yeah, there's usually more than one thing that needs to be done.
Yeah, it can be quite troublesome to deter those raptors.
Kevin in Bellevue, Iowa, up next. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for being on the show, both of you.
Sure.
It's great. I was in Florida this past year and had a chance to see many osprey in the Florida region, Everglades. They seem very dynamic flyers, and they also seem to be able to fend themselves from eagles, even though eagles tend not to be that far south, obviously. But it seems like they were, even from my understanding, they're not only pretty dynamic, but they're pretty easy to escape or even deter eagles. So that's one question I have. The other thing is, maybe there's some way even of spotting them by our canoe. We try to visit Wisconsin every now and then and get north, but if there's a location that wouldn't disturb them during their raising cycle, to spot them by a canoe, that would be wonderful. And then the final thing is, obviously, I really am a proponent of non-lead shotgun shells, and it seems like it's very hard to find it if someone would either call in or post it on some site or something where we could find and patronize shells that are not lead. That would be wonderful. Sometimes there is a wandering skunk or something that's rabid in my yard, and I still would rather, if I have to lay it down, to use something that's not lead so that eaten by some other animal, it's not going to be hurt.
All right, Kevin, thanks for calling. And Carly?
Thanks, Kevin. Eagles and osprey, I have not seen a lot of interactions in the state other than I've seen an empty eagle nest that osprey were trying to land on and the eagles came and chased them away right away. So there are, I think it's more of a resource territorial thing. Eagles try and keep the osprey out so they can have the fish in a given area for their nest and their young. There are probably more osprey in Florida than in Wisconsin. There are actually more bald eagles in Florida than in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is has the fourth most eagles of all the states. We're behind Minnesota, Florida, and Alaska. I'm sure there's probably quite a few osprey and eagle interactions in Florida, so that would definitely be interesting to see. Maybe the osprey, because they're more dense there, have a bit more of a stronghold.
For viewing from a canoe...
From the water is actually one of the best and easiest ways to see an eagle nest because they tend to nest in those big trees on open water. Northern Wisconsin, with all its lakes, has one of the highest eagle densities of anywhere in the world, and so that's a great place. As far as finding specific nests, you're just going to have to kind of go around and look, or maybe word of mouth, and if you are close enough to cause the eagles to make noise or move away from the lake, then you're too close, move away from their nest, then you're too close.
There we go. And I would think, if you're northern Wisconsin, let's say you go to the Minocqua area, for example, you can talk to somebody from the DNR or even the local bait shop, and the people are going to know where the nests are, and you could get in the canoe and see them from the water.
Absolutely. I think that the local folks definitely know where a lot of nests are, and they like to keep tabs on them and keep an eye on the hatchlings and see
actually, I know where there are quite a few in that area.
Sure.
To
yeah,
be perfectly
there's a lot.
Honest.
There are a lot.
There
yeah.
are a lot right in that area. And thank you. I think we covered it all. And then, just non-lead, where to find, if you want to get steel shot, you should be able to get steel shot anywhere.
You can get steel shot pretty much anywhere, as far as I know, if you ask for it. But I think asking around would be the best way to go, probably, to find your local place.
Yeah, the local sporting goods stores that I have gone to have it, and can certainly order it if they don't have it.
Certainly. Steel shot is required for duck hunting, and so it should be available.
Should be available for sure. Bob in Edgerton, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, great show. I had one observation and a question. We were paddling up in northern Wisconsin, kind of near Spooner on Long Lake, circumnavigating the lake, and we saw, I think the folks on that lake had tried to, they had these little floating islands they'd established for loon nests, and we saw an eagle, I can only say, sitting up in this tree with a loon cowering on its nest underneath it, that seemed to be stalking it. I thought that was pretty unusual, but I live down near Edgerton on a little lake there, and we used to have a pair of ospreys nesting on our lake, and now we're seeing several eagles, no ospreys, and but occasionally we see an osprey, and I know eagles range pretty far from their nests, and I wondered how far do ospreys range when they range from their nests to hunt.
Thanks for the call, Bob. Your comment on the loon, I think, is sounds like it's a pretty classic example of a loon protecting its young from an eagle that was nearby. That would probably be pretty interesting to see. It sounds like what you've observed with osprey and eagle in your area near Edgerton there is pretty classic example of eagles coming in and pushing the osprey out or pushing them to a different location. Eagles do range pretty far. I'm not sure how far from their nest they'll go to hunt, but I believe osprey will go up to 5 or maybe 6 miles.
There we go. Thank you very much for calling. And tell you what, we're about out of time, as a matter of fact, as I'm looking here at the clock. I want to thank you so much. I know Nancy's up with a comment on lead sinker disposal, and she might want to just hang on because we'll be talking fishing with our next guest here. In the meantime, Carly, it's been fun to talk with you. I hope you'll come back and be with us again. And I know you really want to push that license plate.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. It's been a lot of fun. Aside from the Bald Eagle license plate, if people are interested in helping out the Bald Eagle surveys in the state, they can also go to the DNR webpage and search for Adopt an Eagle Nest. By making a donation, you can adopt a nest for yourself or someone else. That money contributes directly to the surveys that we do, and then you will get a nest, a photo of the nest that you've adopted, and you have naming rights to that nest, hopefully somewhere close to where you live or whoever you're adopting the nest for, close to where they live. So that's another way that folks can contribute to the endangered resources work that we do in the state and also the Eagle Surveys.
I like that. It's kind of nice. The Larry Mueller Eagle Nest.
Oh, it'd be a great one.
Oh, Carly, it's been so much fun. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to another visit from you.
Thanks, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Carly Lapin is a district ecologist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And it's great to have her along, and we'll have her back. And, you know, of course, Wednesdays are always environment and outdoor days. That's why it was so much fun to talk about eagles and ospreys. And next, we're going to talk about fish and fishing in the fall season. Gary Engberg, professional tournament angler and fishing guide, our next guest here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.